And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
We have a problem.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Anybody going to Vegas?
Ready, set, Vegas.
You're either in or you're out.
Who said anything about gambling?
11 days of basketball in the desert oasis.
That bastard cashed a bet, checked downstairs, and gave you his reference.
What happens here?
Only happens here.
Only happens
I remember
here.
Thinking, Jesus.
Who wants to be my father?
I'm Houston.
Take it away,
what
guys.
What a terrible thing to lay on somebody with a head full of...
Said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Just let me handle it, okay?
I was wondering if you had any villas available.
Bill, we're not even going to be in the room.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. With me today, I've got a cast of characters, starting with Law Murray. Law, what's up?
How you feeling, man?
I'm good.
I'm good to see you.
Thanks for being here. Keith Parrish from Fast Break Breakfast.
Hey, Andrew. Hey. Guys, happy to be here.
And Kelly Eco, Rockets beat writer.
What's going on, guys?
What's up? Kelly, let's start with you. You're covering some of the more high-profile guys in Summer League. What have you seen so far from these Rockets guys?
I think first and foremost, what you're seeing is they want to be better defensively.
Yeah.
They finished the season dead last in defensive rating, and that was primarily due to communication errors, personnel, you know, deficiencies. And early on, we've seen those guys try to be more aggressive, be more attentive on the ball, off the ball, talking to each other, being in the right spots. Offensive is going to be a bit of a struggle because you do have guys that aren't true point guards trying to shoehorn into that role.
Yeah.
You know, like Adation Nix and Josh Christopher.
Yeah.
They're good playmakers, but they still need another playmaker on the floor. So you see guys like Ty Washington come in and try to help things stabilize the offense. It's a work in progress, offensively, I would say. Then you also have Jabari Smith Jr. trying to put him in the offense, trying to find his spots and see where he likes the ball in certain areas of the floor. So offensively, it's going to be a bit of a struggle, but that's summer league ball. But I think the most important thing for them is how they defend as a unit. Can they carry some of that into training camp? Because, you know, let's face it, they're the worst team in the league last season. And unless they get better on that end, they probably could be there again.
Yeah.
But if you can improve defensively and with a guy like Jabari Smith, a guy like Tari Eason, you know, get guys like Jayshon Tate, Eric Gordon, there is some kind of a hope for an improvement from last season.
Yeah. Keith, what have you seen from Jabari Smith Jr. so far?
I haven't seen a ton. I mean, honestly, my takeaway, it's kind of a bad from a Rockets perspective, was just how much smaller physically he was than Paolo Banchero. Like, yeah. I didn't know that. Like, I'd heard him. Maybe I'd just seen them both on paper. Like, oh, these guys are 6'11 power forwards. And then seeing them matched up, I was like, wow, that one is way bigger than the other one. And that was really surprising. Like, I don't watch college basketball, and that was really surprising where I'm like Banchero's massive.
Yeah.
And so the rest of it, like the Jabari Smith jokes, it's like it's the same as Auburn. No guards will get him the ball type thing. Like that's the only blurb I knew about him was like, oh, yeah, no one passed to him. And so watching some Rockets Summer League, Summer League's a free-for-all.
Right.
And not having those guys to create for him because he seems like a guy who's not going to do it off the dribble all the time. You know, he needs to get to his spots, probably hit open shots. So I guess that's my main impression. Not as big as the first pick.
Yeah. Yeah. Law?
Man, first of all, it was rude that we get here Thursday night and you see the Paolo making that corner three in front of Jabari and the Magic official account tweets that out. I mean, that was you didn't have to do that. Like, it's summer league, you know. But to your point, man, I mean, you're talking about how big Paolo is. I think Paolo's the number one pick because he can pass the ball right now.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing with Jabari. Like, he's going to have to develop that skill over time. That's one of the few things we didn't see at Auburn. We didn't see an ability to facilitate from anywhere. He was a play finisher, you know. So hopefully he can develop that in Houston. Hopefully those Houston guards can give him the ball. We know that's been a thing over the last couple of years. You know, you're developing young guards, guards who weren't always point guards. Jalen Green, he can drive, but he's developing his ability to pass the ball. We saw that last month of the season. We saw him take a leap. Kevin Porter Jr., same thing. Like, this man had 50 against Drew Holiday
he's
once.
Talented.
You know, it's like the pieces that Houston is collecting is really intriguing. And Jabari is, you know, along with Jalen, it's nice because they're complementary talents.
Right.
You look in Memphis, for example, they got Ja and they got Jaren Jackson Jr. Now look at Houston. You can see an outline of something similar. And it's going to be fun to look and see how that develops. But developing is something that's going to have to happen.
Right. So I think that's a very important thing about this rebuild, if you want to call it that, because the data from a whole season is going to show you bits and pieces, right? So you get guys like a Jalen Green, who's going to be an uber-talented scorer, who can be a decent to good playmaker. Then you get a guy like Jabari Smith, who is going to be a front-court complementary piece. All the good teams now, you have a good backcourt, a strong front court. So heading into the draft, that's kind of why you heard, you know, the things about Paolo being, you know, the number one or a star player with that star aura, having that ability to score from all parts of the floor but also create for others.
Yeah.
And seeing him play live, you kind of see why he went number one overall, because any team would salivate over that talent. Now, Jabari Smith, too, I wouldn't put as much stock into these games because he did say he was anxious, nervous. Game one was kind of awkward because I think it took like 9 shots, and then game two took like 20.
Yeah.
So part of that was him trying to be aggressive, kind of over-aggressive, trying to find an offensive rhythm. But at the same time, there is hype. Like, you can't hide from it. Like, guys are going to put Jabari versus Paolo, Jabari versus Chet. Like, it's going to be a thing for the rest of their careers. So it's better for you to accept it now than try to, you know, downplay it. I know the Rockets have tried to downplay it because they're kids and you don't want to feed into that too much, but it's kind of hard to run away from. So from that perspective, as a young team, you kind of take your lumps. Take these days in Vegas to kind of see what can you bring to the table come training camp, come preseason, because it's going to be a long season and you have to get better or show at least signs of progressing from year to year.
Yeah, Jabari was feeding that matchup himself versus Chet, though.
Right.
Like, he's yelling at his teammates to get out of the way so that he can guard Chet one-on-one. You know, he wanted it.
Yeah, he did. He did. And also, Tari Eason, and he's been playing really well. I will say this.
Tari wants it all the time.
Tari wants it all the time. He's going to be kind of their version of PJ Tucker, I think. Him and Tate, for sure.
Yeah.
From an energy standpoint alone, because he brings it every possession. Like, he ran out of gas the first game because he was just going too hard. But I think he's going to be a good guy for those guys to come.
I love that they drafted Tari Eason because he fits that team.
Oh, he is such a Rocket. When they took him, I just said, that is the epitome of a Rocket right there.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, you heard everything out of LSU. You know, it's like, he can make some shots, but we don't trust it. You know what I mean? He drives all the time, no matter what, gets to the line so much. I mean, the Rockets, as bad as they were last year, their free throw rate was the best in the league, something like that.
Yeah.
It's like Harden never left. You know what I'm saying? And Tari Eason fits, like, again, the good and the bad, the young and the reckless, all that stuff. He fits right into that. Like,
the young and the reckless. Talent. I like that.
Oh,
I really like that. Let's talk through players that have impressed you that went in the lottery. You know, we've talked about some of the top guys, but has there been anybody else that's impressed you? We'll start with Keith.
In the lottery, I thought it was funny where, so like, as not a draft guy, I memorize these little blurbs. Like, you hear one thing about each player and like, all right, I've committed that to memory so I can act like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the one for Keegan Murray was, he might not blow you away, but you look up at the end of the game, he always has 20 points.
Yeah.
And I was literally watching the Kings game and I'm like, what does this guy do? And I was like, yeah, it's basically invisible. And then into the game, like, oh, he has 20 points again. Like, yeah. So, like, maybe that, like, that was the blurb I memorized. It happened in summer league. Like, he's definitely a beautiful shooter, like, pure shooter, knocking on the threes, got the great size. And if the rest of that game, if it is this kind of magical gift to score where maybe even, like, do opponents think, like, oh, this guy's not doing anything. And it's like, oh, he scored 20 points on me. You know, like, I don't know. Like, so I thought that was really funny that it's, like, the literal thing I learned. I saw it happen. I enjoyed it. And so, like, it seems like, you know, he's been really impressive.
Yeah, he hit that three to send it in overtime.
The amazing comeback, 6 points in 7 seconds.
It was so much fun. Law.
I'm going to bounce right off of Keith because Keegan Murray, no relation, he's been – he produces. That Kings team is going to score a lot of points, almost as many as they give up, you know. Like, that's – I'm looking forward to seeing how that team – with a defensive-minded coach who's not known for offense, comes together. He's another one. If he learns how to pass, he's basically like a complete player to me.
Yeah.
Even though he's not polished defensively, what I saw was he's active defensively. So sure. If you're lazy with your passes, he's going to try and pick that off. He's going to try and challenge some blocks on the other end. He's going to rebound. He's going to look like a rookie defensively. Again, he's going to play for the Kings. So yeah. It's going to look rough on that end of the floor. But he's a bucket. He can shoot the ball. And, you know, we don't need to bring up Thomas Robinson comparisons to 10 years ago. Yeah. Like, that was a good pick. He's going to be a good player. And it's just a matter of, you know, the context of the team that he's on, how they support him.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, can we ask you about, I mean, you're the Thunder guy.
Yeah.
You got most of the lottery picks.
Yeah.
Like, they've been really impressive.
Got like seven of them.
Yeah.
Chet has obviously impressed in different ways in that game against the Rockets. It took him a minute. You know, it took about 7 or 8 minutes of gameplay for him to realize that, oh, the Rockets are only wings. And then he started to block everything at the rim once he started to figure out that team. But the guy that people can't stop talking about is Jalen Williams.
Unbelievable.
Which one?
You know which one. It's J-Dub. So it's how you remember it, everybody. So J-Dub is the lottery pick. J-Will is the 34th pick. J-Will played for Arkansas. He averaged 2 charges per game. And so how you remember it is J-Will take a charge. So that's how you remember J-Dub,
okay.
J-Will.
Okay. I will never remember that.
Yeah, I refuse to remember that.
J-Dub, however, Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, yeah. Has played so well.
Right.
He started at the 4, defending Jabari Smith the other night, and he had it figured out. Obviously, there's a scouting report on Jabari, and it's that you just take up his airspace before he can do anything with the basketball because he's not going to be able to put the ball on the floor. And he did that really well. He's 6'6". He's got a 7'2 wingspan. He can handle a little bit. He's just a smart player, too. I think he probably loves playing with Josh Giddey, right. Just because he knows if he cuts, Josh is going to find him. And I think he had 3 dunks in that game just off of cuts. And he's a good shooter off the catch. He hadn't showcased that a ton here in Vegas yet, but he's just an impressive player. He just knows how to play the game. Like, you just watch him and you have no question about his ability to play at the NBA level.
I think for me, he kind of plays like every day is the draft combine.
Yeah.
And you got to show people that might not have watched you play why you are a lottery talent player.
Yeah.
So I liked his energy. I think Thunder fans will fall in love with him if they haven't already, just from the effort he brings on both ends of the court.
Yep.
He's always going to be he's a smart cutter. He knows how to relocate without the ball in his hands. Another guy that I liked was Mathurin. But I think he's a smooth operator. I think he's someone that's going to be maybe not as polished as a scorer as Ellis.
Yeah.
Pacers legend Monte Ellis, but
bringing up Monte Ellis. Okay, this is good.
But he does know how to score. He knows how to facilitate. He can handle the ball. He's just smooth, and I think Pacers fans are going to fall in love with him, especially if they end up getting Ayton. We saw today, reports about DeAndre Ayton possibly. Yeah. So you can kind of see what they want to do. Their rebuild, it might not be as long as people think.
Yeah,
if they hit on Haliburton and this kid, and then. No, other pieces. So I do like those 2 guys for sure.
Yeah. Keith, you saw Mathurin play yesterday. What did you think of
him? I did. It was more of trying to get to know his game. I didn't know that much about him. And he's obviously a tremendous specimen for like a shooting guard, like that body and great athleticism. And, it's an interesting team where they have a lot of guards on the roster, but like, what are they going to do? Which ones are those going to be there? I might have been distracted by the Buddy Hield, Tyrese Haliburton energy in this Pacers Kings game, where little facing off, a little bit of a revenge game. I assume he's going to blow up at some point. I mean, Mathurin's going to do his thing. I can't say I had the strongest impression as far as like when I go back to watching the Thunder and I saw Jalen Williams, I'm like, oh wow, like that guy blew everybody away. Mathurin, a little more subtle for me so far.
Yeah.
Mathurin's interesting because he's going to be playing for Rick Carlisle, and I don't remember a lot of wings with that kind of talent that Mathurin has. And I just remember the game he had in Arizona where he just had to come through, I think, when they were playing against TCU.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed more than just a skill set. He showed that he can do it when it matters most in late game, big game. So, Carlisle has a young team. We haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see how he relates to all those guys as they're developing, too.
Yeah. The most impressive guy that I've seen, and the Magic fans have to be just thanking the good Lord today that they took Paolo Banchero #1.
Right.
Because if they took, and no offense to Jabari, but this is not the kind of setting where Jabari is going to thrive anyways. But you're feeling pretty bad right now if that's your number one guy. And they took the right player. Whether or not it works out that way down the road, who knows? But today, he's like the biggest guy. Like, Nemias Keita might be the biggest guy here, but when you watch him play, it's like he's bigger than a lot of centers. Like, his shoulders, and he's still so young. Like, what does this guy look like when he's 29? Like, yeah, I don't.
That's
like,
scary.
He's already so good, and a lot of it's the passing to me. The way that he made that play at the end of the game, they kind of double-teamed him, tried to get the ball away from him in that sudden death. But he made the right play. He could have tried to force that up, which is kind of the reputation that he's gotten a little bit, is that he's this creator, and maybe he's not the best team player. But, right, man, I think he's great. I think his passing is something that's going to really help the Magic quite a bit.
But when you see that, like, what does that say about, you know, draft coverage? Because he was kind of the third of the bunch,
yeah,
for weeks and months.
Rockets fans were probably punching his ticket to Houston for a long time, even the day of the draft.
Right.
Right.
And that's how crazy, you know, the back and forth goes when you talk about draft talk and mock drafts and all that stuff. Because Paolo was thought to be right under – there wasn't any clear-cut number one. That was the thing you heard for a long time. But Chet and Jabari were supposed to be the guys that were you would lean towards if you had to pick. And then Paolo was right there. But right now, as you're seeing, he looks like for sure the number one guy.
It's not definitive. It's not the answer. But, like, if all the basketball fans in Las Vegas coming out to watch, if you didn't know any of the names and it's just like, hey, who's the best one? Who was the first pick? And I want, like, almost everyone's going to say, that big guy over there.
Yep.
That big guy over there who can shoot and can dribble and is blocking shots above the rim.
Right. Yep.
Like, it's like you said, it's the passing. It's the playmaking. It's the fact that he looks comfortable. You know, this is not Zaire Williams working on his handle. And you're like, look at that tall guy trying to dribble.
Yeah.
It's like, no, he looks comfortable when he dribbles and he's almost 7 feet tall. And then, like, yeah, he's been absolutely – it's stunning how it's like that guy pops. That guy is the Zion Williamson in the room type thing. You're like, oh, he's better than everyone. And then it falls back to the draft coverage. Like, what was everyone talking about? Right. Like,
I know. There was a lot of, like, draft Twitter that had, like, Paolo as the number one guy. And you heard that over and over again. But then you hear from, like, the mainstream, and I don't know if they're just trying to predict what's going to happen or what they're hearing from teams. Because I heard from several people that work for teams that, like, yeah, Jabari's going one. They were locked in on Jabari from day one. And I don't know we had the Magic GM on this show a few days ago. He said we legitimately hadn't made our choice yet. It was the Wednesday before the draft that they actually made the decision, which feels a little crazy to me that they didn't even have him in for a workout and then they decide that day. But, I mean, obviously the sports books knew, you know.
Yeah.
My dog woke me up in the middle of the night to look at my phone and suddenly he's the number one guy.
I thought you had sportsbook alerts on your phone.
No.
To wake you up. Like
woke me up in the middle of the night,
like,
sportsbook.
The Bankero market has moved to a favorable position. Like it's like a storm warning. You had to get up and play some. I'm just entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're at Summer League. So this is sicko basketball at its finest.
It's gross.
Who is your favorite deep cut player that you've watched so far? I'll go first. Mine is Keon Ellis. He's undrafted. He's from Alabama. He's playing for the Kings. And I'm watching him. I'm like, this guy's an NBA player. He can shoot it. He's a wing. He can defend.
Right.
Like, he's going to play for the Kings this year. I may look real stupid if someone's listening to this in, like, October and, like, he's not even on the team. But to me, when I watch him play, I just say, oh, that's an NBA player. Like, he's one of a few on their Summer League roster that I'm like, oh, that guy could play.
He was on the short list for me when it's like thinking about guys who I said, hey, who's that?
Yeah.
It's like, you look like an NBA player. And there's been times before, I remember like seeing like Kendrick Nunn out here in Summer League. I never heard of him. And it's like, oh, that guy's faster than everybody else. That was Kendrick Nunn. And he can play. And the same thing with like Keon Ellis. Maybe it's just a hot shooting week.
Yeah,
you know, that's always the risk. But like the way that like the fact that he's knocking down the shots and looks like he belongs, the ball handling. Like, yeah, I've been real impressed with Keon Ellis. Mm-hmm.
I got to say that when Peyton Watson was selected with the last pick of the first round.
Yeah.
Look. You can average 3 points a game and be a first round pick. I mean, I don't know about y'all, that's inspiring to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, go ahead, man. But when you look at Peyton Watson, who from Long Beach Poly, you know. I think he was a McDonald's All-American. There's a reason he was highly recruited five-star, went to UCLA. You're seeing a lot of guys. We're just having this discussion about who's the number one pick, you know. Well, when you look at who's the 30th pick, who are you investing in? Like, so many teams have expanded what makes a worthwhile draft pick, okay? And the reason I got to talk about Peyton Watson is because, okay, he, even in the limited minutes that he got, he struggled. Like, I think John Hollinger liked Josh Minot, for example, more than Peyton Watson.
Oh, yeah.
They were in the same category, guys who didn't play a whole lot in D1. And then when they got in, they showed something. You know, they have the length, the physical attributes that you look for in a big wing or a combo forward. But what are you – what's the mold of the clay that you're trying to develop here? Peyton looked great on Sunday against – I think they were playing the Cavaliers, and he showed a little of everything. Yeah, he got the dunks, but he also hit a corner three. He was playing defense. He was grabbing rebounds. He showed a complete game. And again, the kid's young. He's a one and done for a 30th pick. And again, that team is deep.
Yeah.
That team, like okay, where's Peyton Watson playing? They're talking about two main starters coming back to a playoff team with an MVP on it. But it's like, okay, now you can understand why they might have drafted this guy 30th overall.
I mean, also, the Nuggets are great at developing their guys, and you see that that tool set being able to do stuff. You mentioned Minot. I'm actually really impressed. Like, Joshua Minot had an incredible game in Game 1. Game 2 is still pretty solid, and you just see it. It's a guy who I think I was reading, you know, he made 2 3-pointers in his first summer league game. He didn't make 2 3-pointers in college.
Yeah.
And so it's like he has that athletic gift. I saw him. He did a tip-in where someone was holding him. The referees in training missed that one, but they were like holding him flat on the ground. He tips it in. Like, he was really impressive. Like, the activity, and you see that. Oh, that's why Hollinger had him 10th. Huh? Like, you know, I'm sure he felt validated after his start.
Yeah,
he called them referees in training though, and they weren't Richard Jefferson.
It's summer league for everybody.
It is.
I think for me, he might not have wowed anybody, but Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yeah,
I think the way he approaches the game, you kind of see why. You know, even though his draft hype, it might have been not as high as you would have expected, but you know, even at Vanderbilt, he was always, he just controlled the game, and he didn't do too much to like jump off the page, but he's a smart basketball player, and those kind of players last in this league. And I think for a Lakers team that needs smart basketball players, they need good playmakers, I think there is low-key a role for him in LA if he plays his cards. I just think he has a good size, he moves his feet well, he handles the ball well, he can read, he can make those secondary, tertiary reads, and he's just smart. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So I think I like his game, and I think if Pelinka and Darwin Ham are watching closely, they'll see a guy that can bring some grit and grind to their training camp.
Yeah. That's copyrighted. You can't
that's
say.
Right.
I'm sorry. For Lakers. Sorry. I cover the Grizzlies. You can't.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
One more deep cut. Caleb Houston, who's playing for the Magic, has looked really good.
Right.
He always has looked the part. He was pretty terrible for Michigan. And was similar to Peyton Watson, where he's kind of highly touted out of high school, has a really bad freshman year, but gets in the draft anyways just because he's like physically impressive. So,
looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
We're going to do some Summer League trivia here, guys.
Oh, no.
Okay. So I'm going to start. How we're going to do this is I'm going to ask a question. Law, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
If you don't know it, we'll move on to Keith. If Keith doesn't know it, we'll move on to Kelly. That's for the first question. Second question will go, and then we'll move on throughout. First question. Law.
Is there a prize?
Is there a prize? You need a prize.
I need an incentive.
You need an incentive. Okay, I'll buy you some ice cream.
Like a sub goal.
If you win, I'll buy you some ice cream.
Whoa, are we playing for ice cream for
real? We're playing for ice cream, yes. I will take you to DQ here in just a minute and buy you something. Okay, who is the player selected in the top 10 that has taken the most threes per game in Summer League?
Okay, and I'm not, you know what, closing computers. So,
there you go.
And I'm not looking at shirts.
Yeah.
The most threes per game from a top 10 pick has been, I'm going to say... Keegan Murray.
Keegan Murray is correct. Keep your own score. You got one.
Well played.
Okay.
Keith.
Yes.
Question number two. Who has scored the most points in a game so far in Summer League?
Is it Cam Thomas?
It is not Cam Thomas.
Oh, no.
Moving on to Kelly.
Whoa, it's not Cam Thomas?
It's not Cam Thomas. Who has scored the most points in a Summer League game so far?
Moses Moody?
Moses Moody is correct.
The Moses Moody game.
Let's go.
Well played.
Okay. You got 1 point. Moving on to Kelly. You get this one again. Chance
on,
to double
man.
It up.
Sheesh.
Paolo Banchero blocked this player's shot at the rim in sudden death. Hold on.
Oh, sudden death. Ooh.
In sudden death overtime to save the game. And they had to review this play. They called a foul. They overturned it after a challenge. Which player was it?
Was it Nemanja Kida?
Ding, ding, ding. Wow.
Well played.
Very well
taking the lead here.
I feel like because Andrew already dropped the name Nemanja Kida earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe a little hint.
It was a little bit.
It was on your mind.
Very
okay,
well
Law. Name the four lottery picks that have been shut down and won't play in Summer League moving forward.
Okay. Shaedon Sharpe, Jeremy Sochan, and I got two more. This is a live show, too, man. This is tough. Jang?
Nope,
man.
Moving on to Keith.
All right. Dyson Daniels. Now I've forgotten the first one that you said. I'm tapping out.
Okay, Kelly.
Sochan, Dyson Daniels, Jang, and Shaedon Sharpe.
Oh, Shaedon Sharpe, of course. But we still don't know our fourth.
Jaden Ivey, guys.
Oh, Jaden Ivey.
Oh, come on, fellas.
Snap.
They Zaza Pachulidum.
Yes.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Okay, Keith.
Yeah.
Only three players from last year's top 10 are playing in Summer League this year. Can you name those three?
Oh, there's no chance. Josh Giddey.
Yep.
Wow.
There's one that's very obvious for you.
Thank you, Zaire Williams. Cade Cunningham was on the roster.
Doesn't count.
Okay, doesn't count.
You got to play. This other guy has played.
I don't know.
Okay, Kelly.
Wait, you said Zaire,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Giddey, Kuminga.
Kuminga.
Oh.
Kelly, you are Kelly's the winner of Summer League Trivia.
Come on.
Get this man some ice cream.
I'm going to get you some ice cream after this. Thanks so much for listening to the Athletic NBA Show. Stay locked in with us all week. We appreciate you guys listening.
Let her rip. I'll be happy to drive you wherever you want to go. I'll make it simple, man. Your motor's broken.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.